I appreciate y'all showing up today. We were taking bets how many people were going to be here for everybody to be trying to get home. And I don't know about everybody else, but we may be dodging snow in Mississippi. So, thank you again. Like you mentioned, my name is Chad Smith, and I am going to discuss a little bit of my dissertation research. And it involves the effects of simulated dicamba and 2,4-D drift on cotton. A little bit about herbicide-resistant traits. Everyone knows that they tend to provide a very cost-effective, and not only cost-effective, but a very effective weed control system for cotton producers. And of course, that means that, you know, adoption of these type of systems would be very rapid. And in 2006, it was shown that approximately 80% of the cotton was Roundup Ready technology, one of these types of herbicide-resistant traits. And that same year, it was estimated that over 95% of the cotton in Mississippi was Roundup Ready technology. And I would probably venture a guess that most likely, you know, now we've seen only an increase in those numbers. Even more recent technological advancements have been more directed towards post-emergent broad-spectrum broadleaf control, and these are, you know, in the pipeline in industry, such as our dicamba-resistant and our 2,4-D-resistant cotton. And we know that those growth regulator-type herbicides can be very injurious to cotton, and we have for years and years. So naturally, the rapid adoption of these types of systems could create a lot of problems and a lot of drift concerns for producers. The overall objective of this program was just simply looking to see if we could simulate drift effects on our cotton, of course, our non-transgenic cotton. It was Roundup Ready, but we were going to simulate these drift effects and to see if we could get injury from 2,4-D and dicamba and look at the effects on plant growth and the overall resulting fiber yield. Studies were conducted in 2009 near central Mississippi, the town of Brooksville, at the Black Belt Research Station. We had a factorial design with the main factor being application timing and the subfactor of the herbicide rates. We had our standard four replications. We made our applications at 15 gallons per acre, and we applied them at 10 and 16 node cotton, which was actually a little bit later than what we were shooting for, but because of the weather concerns, we weren't able to make those applications earlier like we'd hoped. We used dicamba at a rate of 32 fluid ounces per acre and 2,4-D at a rate of 16 fluid ounces per acre. Now, some people may ask why we had two different rates on that, but the actual dicamba label allows for a little more of an increase in your rate, and therefore we decided to go for the high side of the dicamba label and use that for our 1X. Within each one of those, we took those as our 1X rate, and we basically did a fraction of each one of those rates from our 1X to our quarter X, logarithmic basically all the way down from 16 to 1/64th, all the way down to 1/256X rate. Our plot size was 25 by 40 feet, basically eight rows of cotton with a four row buffer. We made our applications with a four row boom, and it was a hooded boom, and we made two per plot, so we basically made a pass down and back. We took visual ratings for injury, and of course our yield was recorded. Our data was subjected to analysis of variance and separated by Fisher's protected LSD. This chart right here represents 2,4-D injury at 1 week after application. And on the left here, you can see that we have our fractions of our rates ranging from, of course, our untreated was included, but from 1X all the way down to 1/256X rate. And next to it, we see our corresponding fluid ounce rate and per fluid ounce per acre rate. Following that, we had our 10-node application timing. And of course, we didn't see any injury in our untreated trick. But when we made our 1X application rate, we were seeing around 65% injury at 1 week after application. We saw a pretty clear stair step all the way down, ranging from 35 to 22, 14, and 6% injury as we decreased that fractions of a rate. As far as our 16-node timing, we didn't see quite as much injury. We saw only 25% injury from our 1X treatment, and actually pretty minimal injury from our 1/4 to all the way down to 1/256 X rate. When we came back and we evaluated it 2 weeks after application, we were still seeing similar results from our 10-node earlier application, ranging from 61 down to 13. However, that 16-node at that time, it actually had decreased quite a bit from to around 14% at our 1X rate. And even our 1/16th and 1/64th and 1/256 actually all showed a minimal injury that was unable to be discerned between that and the untreated check. To give you an idea, this is what we were looking at right here, and most people wouldn't believe this, but again, we were applying on mature cotton, and this is a 1X rate of 2,4-D on 16-node cotton, and this was 3 weeks after application, and it's kind of amazing. You may be even having trouble trying to pick out where the plot is, but the plot is actually right down here in the center, and this was all the treated area, and this is the untreated. And of course, once you got out in there, you could see more of your typical type growth regular type symptoms. But just by, you know, casual glance to the observer, you might not be able to detect that. But this is the lasting noticeable effects of that treatment. Same treatment. This is the end of the season. This is the kind of cotton yields we're looking at. I don't think you have a lot of trouble picking out the plot where it stopped and started at. But I'll get into yield a little bit later on. Overall, our results from our 2,4-D applications, we had initial injury on our younger cotton plants, and it tended to be more evident on those younger plants. However, on our more mature cotton plants, we had a slow injury response. As I mentioned earlier, we had minimal injury from our 1/4 X rates on down on our 16-node cotton. And as I highlighted earlier, we had a 1X rate 1 week after application that produced 25% injury on that older, more mature cotton. And we saw that direct injury relationship with our increasing rates, which is what we were kind of going for. And we definitely saw lasting sustained injury on those higher rates as well. Moving on to dicamba at 1 week after application, we saw more similar type results in our 10-node cotton application timing. With injury ranging from 61% all the way down to 13% within our stair step pattern. And moving on to our 16-node cotton, we saw a little bit different results where we had actually more injury ranging from 86% on our 1X rate and more of a stair step down from there. As far as moving on to our 2 week after application 16-node, we saw a decrease in our injury from going from 86% injury down to 40% injury in that second week. And of course, we saw that stair step pattern continue on down. Our 10 node, however, tend to have more of a sustained injury. Not a whole lot of difference between our 10 nodes between our 1 and 2 week application. Injury, of course, ranging from 76% all the way down to 13%. This picture right here, it highlights our 1X rate of dicamba at our 10 node, and this picture was taken 48 days after application, so quite a while after. But you get an idea of how much we halted our growth. We had very minimal regrowth on our dicamba applications, and so anything once it was sprayed, it basically halted it. Our initial injury at 1 week after application was more pronounced on our more mature cotton, which was opposite of what we found on 2,4-D. Our symptoms did increase with time for our 16-node cotton, for our 16-node cotton. However, our younger 10-node cotton had increasing injury with time, especially when applied at those higher rates. The lower rates, however, tended to have more of a sustained continual injury. And as you saw in that picture, we had very minimal regrowth following the injury that did occur. These graphs right here highlight the percent yield reduction from our 2,4-D. And on the left, you'll see our 10-node application timing. And on our right, you'll have our 16-node. This vertical bar right here highlights, of course, percent yield reduction, which means 100% would be no cotton out there. It would basically be, you know, completely removing all of our yield. So you'll notice that on our 10-node cotton, we had a very sustained decrease in yield. We had 100% yield reduction from our 1/64 X rate. In fact, we didn't actually even get any cotton until we picked our 1256 X-rate, and that was around 30 to 40% yield reduction at that time. However, moving on to our 16 node cotton, you saw more of a stair step pattern, which is what we saw in our more typical to our injury that we viewed in the field, ranging from our 1X treatment at around 90%, stair step down to around 50, and then 30, and so on. Moving on to our dicamba rates, same type of graph set up, 100% is complete yield reduction. And we saw 1.25X was the only two that provided complete yield reduction. Our 1/16X rate showed around 80% yield reduction, followed to somewhat of a stair step pattern with our 1/64 and 1/256. Our 16 was very similar to the pattern that we found on our 2/4D, ranging from 100% down to around 75, around to around 25 or so, and so on. Overall, we had greater yield loss from earlier applications and higher rates, which is exactly what we were really trying to pinpoint, especially that higher rate aspect of it. Our percent injury from our 2,4-D on our 10-node earlier cotton was similar to injury that we found on the dicamba on that same type of treatment. However, we had more yield reduction with our 2,4-D. Our 1/64X rate of 2,4-D had only around 14% injury 1 week after application, but resulted in 100% yield reduction. Was quite a stark difference, and if you remember those pictures I showed up, you can understand why. Our low rates of dicamba had more of a yield loss on 10-node cotton and compared to our 16-node cotton, basically highlighting more injury early on. And overall from the study, our injury was varied with each herbicide and timing, which was, again, what we were trying to achieve. And although our visual injury was discernible in many cases and in many plots, often it either disappeared or was very minimal, and our yield reductions were much greater than we expected from those plots. And thus, you know, our significant yield loss can occur from very minimal symptomology within the field, which has great implications for a producer that may not get by his field but once every week, 10 days, and injury could occur, and you may never actually be able to diagnose it. As I mentioned earlier, one of the things I thought was pretty amazing, the injury on our 16-node cotton from 2,4-D was not even able to be visually detected. We couldn't actually see it at 2 weeks after application, created yield loss from 10 to 54%, which is very significant. Our future research involves using an analytical spectral device, which basically measures plants' reflectance, and our goal is then to basically come in there directly after applications or a drift event, and hopefully we can diagnose rapidly how much drift did occur and possibly help pinpoint our yield decreases that we might see in the future. And with that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
Any questions for our speaker? Yes, sir.
Chad, if you had drift 2,4-D or dicamba, can you visually discern those two herbicides on top?
It was actually kind of unique. You know, you hear all the differences between the cupping and the strapping and being able to pick between the two. When I started looking at 2,4-D, it tended to see more strapping, but as a whole, it was tough to diagnose between the two, especially because we had such different rates that sometimes one rate of one of those herbicides would look similar to a different rate of another herbicide, and it was actually very difficult to tell between the two. No, our yield loss actually came from lint, our fiber. We had to go out there and we basically handpicked our rows because we were facing such wet conditions, and we handpicked our lint fiber, and then we measured it, and that's what we calculated that off of.
Any more questions for us, Pick? Let's give him a hand.
Thank you.